Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from, part of the world or the earth. Evening. This is Apostle Armstrong, and I want to give the Father thanks and praise for you tuning in today. And as we have our topic, it's very general, and it is more than applied message. And it is a reflection of what it is that is happening in the earth and how one person, myself, relates to it. Our topic today is, when you live in glass houses, you shouldn't throw stones. And I know for some of you, you're going to take exception with it, but that's okay. If you listen long enough, you understand. We who profess to be believers, and those of you who profess to be Christians, hopefully you will get the word as in terms of a person, from a person who lives with the word, who understands the word according to their relationship with the Creator. And we're talking about relationships. Relationships. And we go back to Genesis. Let's just go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And what type of relationship do you glean from there? One of the relationships that I get out of that is, says, in the beginning, Elohim. One, there was a creator named Elohim. And that creator was there before there was a heaven or an earth. And you begin to ask the question, what is that saying to me? Or you? What does that say to you? That way it's written, in the beginning, Elohim. Who is Elohim? What does that say to you? To me, it says that Elohim is the name for the one that people always refer to, including using, taking that name in vain, that is the word G-D. And that's until I came into that understanding of the name and how important the name is and how the name Elohim and Yahweh and other names, I am that I am, I've never heard anyone take, and I certainly have not done it, taken any of those names in vain the way that people take the G-D name in vain. Relationships. We began to look now at relationships. In the beginning, so there was something that exists before there was anything else. The way that is written, and because of that, what we want to conclude from that? One begins to ask the next question. And that next question is, What's Next, In the Beginning, Elohim. What did he do? What did Elohim do? And that once we deal with it, look at it that way, we are able to come up with some understanding of who Elohim is. Who is? Who is this Elohim? Why? Why people, one, if we accept the word as being the divine word, and we're looking at the Hebrew name, not the English name, the Latin name, or any other name, but the Hebrew name or the Aramaic name for the one that created. And whenever we look at it that way, we come into a different understanding and a different explanation. Especially whenever we go and say, in the beginning, Elohim, what did Elohim do? Elohim created the heavens and the earth. You say, huh? Created. What does that mean? That means there was no heaven nor earth. It means that Elohim was here and there was nothing else. And as we begin to really dissect this, then we will, as we go through this, until we walk through this part of the scriptures, we will begin to have a better understanding of what is being done here. What happened? He created the heavens. We say he created the heavens. Sound like something is plural here. Not just a heaven, but it's a plural word. Meaning that there's more than one layer to heaven. And as we keep walking down that path, and we keep looking at what and asking the question, what is being said, and what is the meaning of this? So if he created, that implies that there was nothing there before, and because there was nothing there before, he has the responsibility for the work of creation. And it says, he created the heavens, which implies that what was in the heavens, there was nothing in the heavens. And whenever you look at it, what do you see also? I'm just going to read this in what version of the Bible is this? The NIV, the Student Bible. It says, and where the word for God, I'm going to put Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So, and looking at relationships now, we're talking about relationships. And we'll get to the topic. Might not be today, but eventually we're going to get there. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens with S and the earth, singular. And then the NIV states that now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So now there's a little bit more emphasis being placed on earth than on heavens. It just said he created, he didn't give a description of what he created that he called heavens, the heavens. But he goes into detail about the earth. It was formless. Now think about it. It was formless and empty. Just those words, if we just take those words, formless, means there was no structure. And empty means you're looking into something, looking in a container that's empty. What you see? Nothing. Nothing. And then it goes on, darkness was over the surface of the deep. It was dark. Think about it now. I want you to process that for yourself. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And another hint here, and the spirit of Elohim was hovering over the waters. Now, this says, evidently, this is his spirit. He's not human. Now, want us to really just pause here and think about what was read. And let's look at relationship. Relationship. What kind of relationship do you see in what I just read? What type of relationship? What does it say to you? To me, it tells me that the one that created the heavens and the earth, Elohim, has responsibilities and takes responsibilities for what he created. Created the heavens and the earth. Now let's look at order. We say that our God, our creator, Elohim, is a being of order. So now if he's a being of order and he created the heavens first and then he created the earth, what is that saying to us? That's saying that he has a relationship with that which is in the heaven. And he had that relationship with them before he created the earth. It's important that we look at things so that we can understand whenever we hear about it later in Psalm 115, verse 16, where he says that he created the heavens for himself and the earth for the children of men. And think about it. Also, darkness over the surface of the deep and the spirit of Elohim was hovering over the waters. So we can make some more assumptions, and be careful with your assumption now, because your assumption is not based in the word, then it's not worth the energy that you use to speak it. So here I see it's telling me that Elohim spirit is what was hovering over the deep. And if we accept the fact that Elohim created the heavens first, so that means he had a relationship with the angels before he had a relationship with people. And whenever we think about things in those terms, what do we see? We gain a level of understanding as to the creator relationship. And he didn't give it up whenever he created the heavens. And we can see that whenever he recalled and talked about the importance of heaven and the description of heaven later on, we will see that those descriptions that he gives is not compatible with the description that we receive from the pulpit. And we have to be able to discern between the two. What is this being said and why? Why? Well, therefore, we must begin to, when we look at Scripture, when we read it in English, think of how many interpreters have touched that word. Interpreters. Those men that translated it. And sometimes, if you have taken a foreign language, which I have, I find that there are certain words that you are incapable of finding a meaning that means the same in your translation. When you translate it, I know I took Spanish many, many years ago, 50 years, probably close to 50, yeah, about 52, 53 years ago. Spanish language that I got it from the classroom, it didn't help me when I was out on the street. And all I'm saying is that we have to be careful and we have to get tools to help us to understand these meanings so that we won't be deceived whenever we read it or be deceived by what we hear people say that it means. We just took the first one. That was just the first two verses of Genesis. Also, when this was written, there was no punctuation at all. And if it was written in Hebrew, it was written from right to left, not left to right. So people had to think backwards, especially those translators, they had to think backwards. And all of this went into, we have to begin to take this stuff into consideration and the possible impact that these interpreters may have had on their translation. As we now, whenever we really are thinking about this, I know I did. I meditated and reflected on this first two verses for almost a year. And that is why whenever I read further than the book of Genesis, I have a sense of clarity from having meditated and reflected and allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truths. And my thing is that let's get this straight before we move on, because if we start at verse 3 and go down to verse 6, we find relationships again. We found that Elohim had a direct relationship in the creation of the heavens. Therefore, if he created the heavens, and now we walk around saying that's where the angels reside, and we also say that that's whenever he created the earth and the fullness thereof, when he created the humans, I get a different insight into why Satan felt the way he did about the creator Elohim's relationship to humans. Now, I want y'all to just walk with me, because if you allow your mind to be open and allow your mind not be judgmental, but to look at the fruits and explain to you what fruits are there and the interaction that is taking place. I'm very clear. And that I'm comfortable with my understanding. One, the Elohim is the name for the creator, and that Elohim was there before the beginning of the heavens and the earth. And when I examine that a little bit deeper, what does it tell me? And I look at the things that I've done, and the things that I call myself creating. For example, light bulb, a lamp with a light bulb in and turn on the light bulb comes on. How did I feel? I felt stupid. I felt like, wow, I don't have to go to the store and buy a lamp. And then if I did go to the store and buy a lamp, wasn't all bad in terms of its development. And I just think about how the creator felt whenever he went about creating the heavens and the earth. Now, we move down to verse 3, and it says, and God says, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim said that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. So now let's go back and let's look at this. And Elohim said, now that's after he created the heavens and the earth. Now he said, let there be light. Now, did he have a light switch? No. How did he bring light into existence? that supports, that is foundational to the scripture, which states that there is power and depth within the tongue. This is a demonstration of that, of the power. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke things into existence. And not only did it stop there, Elohim saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He said the light was good. So what does that say about the light? About his relationship with light? He felt that the light was good, therefore he doesn't create bad anything that's bad. And I want you to think about it. He said, let there be, and it was so. And he found that it was pleasing to the eye. And he said it was good. Good. So that's one thing that we can say that came out of his creation. Because evidently there was darkness. There was no stars, no moon, no sun in the heavens, which he created. And he spoke to the darkness. And out of that came the light. The light. Now, we go back and we get into scripture here down the road. But this is the way we're going about it. And if any time that you feel I'm misquoted, I'm misspoken, you got my email address, email me. And I will respond that I might have missed something. The light he created, and he said it was good. He never said, now I want you to be clear, And he separated the light from the darkness. He didn't say dark was bad. And some people want to put those words in Elohim's mouth. What he said, let there be light. He spoke it. So, evidently we have similar ability to speak. And we'll see why as we move through this. And he separated the light from the darkness. Didn't say the dark was bad, he didn't say the light was good. But whenever I heard this being read from the pulpit, there was emphasis was being placed on the darkness as being evil. That's not the case. And what else did Elohim do? He called the light day and destroyed the darkness. No. He called the light day and the darkness he called night. What did he do? He named them. He gave a name to the day and a name to the night. He gave a name to the light and a name to the darkness. And there was evening and there was morning the next day. want us to really think about we're spending time here so that if we get this straight, we can walk through the rest of it. And then in verse 6, and Elohim said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from the They said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. What is that telling us? Telling us about the water. Telling us about the land. How you separated the water. And I really want you to really think about it. And Elohim made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. Now, that word, I should have looked it up and not lean on my definition. What was what's above and what is below? Separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. Where does rain come from? That's my understanding. Where does the rain come from? Rain comes from up, right? It drops, comes out of the heavens to the earth. And what else? There's water already here on the land. It's about, it's interesting. Now, what did the Creator call the expanse? He called it the sky. Sky. And there was Eden and Eden, and there was morning the second day. When you look at this now and you put it in perspective, in terms of planning, in terms of structure, you see how he's building everything. When you look at how I'm being a farmer, you need the warmth, you need something to warm the earth in order for, and you see it, if the earth is warm, then there will be flowers, there will be whatever seed or whatever is planted in the earth, it will begin to sprout. I want us to, when we read the word, don't keep reading stuff in what your grandmama said or what the teacher said. I want you to read the word for yourself. And before you even start, ask the Creator to send the Holy Spirit to lead us into our understanding of that which we are reading, that which we are, what we hear. And it's very important, y'all, because some of what we believe is based on what we heard, not based on the word. And now as we go on down to verse 9, and Elohim said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. I don't know how many of you have been on a cruise. You've been on a cruise. You go from land to a boat, and you float around out there, going from island to island. There's a little sprouts of land sprouted up. Like, I know when I went on the first cruise, Some of it like it appeared out of nowhere. And that is what he's talking about here. And he said, let the water under the sky, when you look up, are the oceans, the rivers, the lakes, are all under the sky. And he said, gather to one place and let dry ground appear, and it was so. And Elohim called the dry ground, what? Land. And he gathered waters, he called the sea. Sea, floor. And Elohim saw that it was good. Now, everything that he has created thus far, he said it was good. So now, I'm not bringing in a bias to this. If he said it's good, because I take him at his word as written. And by doing it that way, he helped me to get an understanding of what I see with my five senses. And it helped me to come up with, I hate to say a logical, rational explanation, but it helped me to do an analysis, with the criteria being the written word. With the criteria being the written word, not somebody's interpretation. And if what I'm hearing, if what I'm being told doesn't line up with the word as written, then I disregard it. I can't use it. Now, whenever we go back here, just go back to it for a moment. The word, how do we know? That's right. We're already down to verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. How do we know all of this to be? We know because of the word. How do we know this to be the truth? For me, I have looked at other creation stories, and I haven't found another one that has the mystery of the beginning. The other one says what? They talk about something that the Creator created, came forth, and that's how the world began, their world began. I want us to really be clear. So whenever you read or you hear what someone has to say, and if it doesn't line up with what we've read thus far, then you know that one, do not allow that to come into your mind, because once that happens, it's going to put you in conflict with the actual word as written. One of the things, we have to be faithful to the format, whether anyone is on the line or not, anyone calls in or not, we have, and I've gone, 30 minute of message and 15 plus minutes of discussion and questions and answers. Now, I hope that we will start generating some attendance so that there will be a dialogue and we will be able to come into unity. And what I mean by that, we can become on one accord as we go forth. Because we establish who created what, when and where, and how. And we're going to pick up from here next week. And we're going to walk on through the book of Genesis. And it's going to get to be a little more interesting as we go forward. Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we come to you saying thank you. We thank you for your words, and for out of your words come my understanding, and come the hearer's understanding. And not only the understanding, the truth. Because when we look at what we just read, there was nothing else. Therefore, you are the truth. And we have to begin to walk in that reality. And so doing, the word began to come alive in us. And you began to understand why if you live in glass houses, you shouldn't throw stones. I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for revealing to the listeners the word, the truth. In the name of your beloved son, Yahshua, shalom, shalom.
For all your concrete needs, choose Quality Concrete, the number one concrete company in the nation for quality control for the fourth time by the NRMCA. Quality Concrete, an Ascension Ready Mix company, has poured over 7 million yards in Baton Rouge and surrounding areas. With 7 locations and the most modern fleet in the state, Quality Concrete is the best choice for residential, commercial, industrial, or municipal projects. Call 225-677-7177 to get a quote now, or visit goquality.com. That's G-E-A-U-X quality.com.
We all know a guy who only occasionally shaves for big occasions, and it's because that occasional shave really hurts. The time of year for big occasions, and yet there he is, suffering with that cheap drugstore razor. Let's help him out. Henson Shaving's line of razors, built with aerospace precision, deliver a smooth shave your dad, brother, and even son can enjoy, eventually. With replacement blades just 10 cents each, you'll buy it once, and they'll use it for life. How's that for the perfect gift? Celebrate with 100 free blades on your first purchase, and no subscription headaches. HensonShaving.com/holiday.